Welcome to What the Biz, where we talk about building successful businesses, balancing life, and all the WTB in between. With your hosts, me, Richard Pyatt.
I'm Bridget Vector.
And I'm Dan Prochko.
Hey there, thanks for coming back and visiting with us at What the Biz, WTB. Richard here with Bridget and Dan. And this is the program where we small business owners talk a little bit about what's vexing us, what's not vexing us, successes, and exciting and fun things that are happening. And we invite you to be a part of that too. Subscribe, of course. We welcome you to do that. And then you'll know when these episodes pop up. But also share with us what your strategies are and things that might be vexing you a little bit. And by the way, we would be happy to hear what things you might like us to talk about. So make a connection with us, whatthebiz.com, or by way of social media, and we're happy to hear that. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello, hello.
What's up?
Today, our subject a little later will be tax preparation tips and strategies, and I'm one of those people for whom the lightning bolt.
Okay.
Zips down my spine. Oh, God, it's time for that stuff again. Yes. So, so maybe it could be a little boring, but you know what? We all need to know about it. And I think for a lot of us, it scares the socks off of us. So we need people like Bridget to help us figure that out. So we will discuss that coming up.
It doesn't have to be boring and it doesn't have to be scary. So
yeah, neither one.
I concur.
Are you bored or scared with any of that, Dan? You already know this stuff, though. I am not like you. I look at my bookkeeping and go, oh, I think this is right.
I mean, it's just that I've done it for 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
But it's always been a side business, which has been interesting because every year you learn something new. Like, I remember the first few years filing was like, I think the first 2 years filing, we never wrote off the home office. And then all of a sudden learned I could do that and was like, oh my God, I could have saved how much, you know, like it wasn't much. Cause it was a part-time gig. Like they don't give you a whole ton, but it's based on, you know, the hours percentage of your home and all that stuff. But it was like, oh man, it's just like years of like accumulating those little tidbits of things because our tax law is so ridiculously complicated and insane. I just see Bridget rolling her eyes and shaking her head at me. It's so true. It's horrible.
It's awful.
Yeah.
How do you keep up with that?
How do I keep up with that?
No, how does Bridget keep up with that?
Oh, there you go. Good question. Yeah. How do you keep up with that?
Really?
We just subscribe to a lot of things. I mean, we just keep up by absorbing what's going on. But I would say, thankfully, our firm, we don't file the taxes. We believe in the checks and balances. So we'll do all the day to day, but we do keep up on all of it because we are the first line for our clients to make sure that they are getting every penny that they should in deductions. Cause I don't believe in anybody paying too much in taxes. So we do keep up on it. Yeah. It's just by making sure we're reading whatever we can. But gosh, lately they have been changing tax laws left and right.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So you have to know, even though you're not doing the taxes, your clients are saying, I need my house in order for my tax preparer person. And so you have to have those things right.
Yeah. And ultimately that kind of stuff actually just passes through normally. So, it's going to go through on your personal return and that isn't as huge of a deal.
Right.
Cause a tax preparer that knows what they're doing will automatically ask you about that. But, I think business owners make it overly complicated because they think they're missing things, right? They think they don't know what they don't know.
Yes.
And my biggest piece of advice with that is if you aren't using one account solely for business, one account, one credit card, whatever that is, do that first off, because you are going to capture everything business in that one account. So that protects you to make sure that you're going to, capture what you can. And I don't know. I think a lot of business owners think that there's a secret world of secret things, you know, that they don't know about that they can write off. And it really isn't that complicated. And there really isn't this whole secret world of tax write-offs. So,
yeah, no, I found like the moment I got TurboTax 1 year, I learned a lot, like just a lot. CPAs are great too, by the way. But yeah, no, you learn a lot. That tip about the financial account, I remember when we talked, I mean, I'd always had it separate. My dad, being a corporate lawyer, was like, hey, your number one thing, don't ever put your business money with your personal money. Don't ever spend your business money on personal things. Move money over, pay yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm going into this weird accent like he's a mafia guy. He's a lawyer. Some people think he might be. He's totally not.
Totally fitting. Great voice there.
No, right. But that was like my number one thing was that. And I remember some people asking me that had their own side businesses that were small too. They're like, why do you have your own bank account for? You know, you can do it like, just like, yeah. Have you ever tried to split it all apart to figure out what's what? Oh, it's so much easier when you have a bank, like a dedicated account for these are my business expenses. It all comes out of here.
Yeah.
I never have to worry about the two overlapping and having to then go and basically do forensic accounting.
Well, and I always get asked, because a lot of business owners are like, well, that's my money. Like, that's how I live. That's how I pay my bills. And I always say, great. Have it deposit into your business account and you can do an instant transfer to your personal if you want. That's fine. But just keep it separate.
Yeah. Keep it separate. Totally.
Great advice you had there, Dan.
Yeah. And then I know there's like some more complex ways to do it. You know, we talked more about that, about how many accounts to have for different things. Like, for instance, we have regular expenses. We've got another account for advertising. And so we put any money we get paid for advertising into that account just to keep that separate. Another thing, but that has nothing to do with taxes. That's more operationally. One thing that I know is important if ever there's an audit has to do with receipts. And I love all of the accounting software. Many of them at least have a function for, say, taking a photo of receipts, attaching it to a transaction. I mean, just doing that immediately makes life so much easier down the line if you need to prove something at some point, and it helps with reconciling, et cetera. But that's one big tip, especially when it comes to deductions. Need your receipts, otherwise you could get screwed down the way. So that, but I think my biggest thing.
Meals are a big one anymore too. They've made a lot of changes around what you can write off with meals. I think the most significant one that is going to impact a lot of businesses is, you know, previously if you were doing a sales meeting or a potential client meeting or taking your client out, while entertainment hasn't been allowed, you could write off, you know, that entire meal. And we are at a 50% now. So that, you know, that impact is a big one for many businesses, because that's how a lot of people make their sales and negotiations. So, you know, just kind of having those things in mind. And anytime you're having a meal, making sure that you're just keeping the receipt and writing who you met with and what it was about will protect you in an audit. And you nailed that, Dan, with the receipt piece. We love utilizing a program called HubDoc. So it's an app. You can take a picture of it. It does connect to QuickBooks Online. But the unique feature of that one is that you can download all your receipts and kind of store them in a Google Drive. Where a lot of the accounting platforms, if you save them in there, there is no way to mass download them. And so you can't save those records if you ever leave that accounting software. So, So we kind of recommend the HubDoc to, you know, download into your own drive. But just saving receipts in any way is valuable for yourself, for sure.
Some of these accounting programs, too, will automatically match up. It can read the receipt and see the charge and marry them for you, don't they?
They do. I'll reserve my hesitation with that, because holy nightmares have I seen from that, because a lot of times it will double record, triple record. Ugh. Same with revenue. So, you know, when you're thinking about with taxes, my number one tips: reconcile. Like, make sure you're reconciling those accounts, because you're going to catch all those weird connections because we're relying on technology, right? And technology is not always perfect, unfortunately. So
yeah,
I've seen some nightmares of double recording and the penalties that can potentially come from that, from filing taxes on bad data is not great.
So I can't confirm. No, I can't confirm. I used to be previous platform had all of that in it at first. And I remember scanning receipts and then having the bank account sync in and then having two things in there. Luckily, they have a merge function, but like they didn't always automatically merge them. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. And so it was always an end of month thing. But yeah, less of an issue now. So yeah.
So that scares me more about doing this stuff. Just saying.
Sorry. It's the back end technology that doesn't always work, but yeah.
What else is on your list? Reconcile, reconcile, reconcile. That's 1, 2, and 3. What's next?
Well, I say that because if you are reconciling, you know, I say use an accounting platform. There are plenty out there. My top recommendation is QuickBooks Online. I have a love hate with it, but gosh darn it, it does a good job for what we need as accountants. So I recommend it. Wave Accounting, Dan used to use that as well. It is a great free platform for those that can't or don't want to afford, you know, a software fee at this point. It does hit limitations over time, but I mean, it is better than nothing. So if that is a need, Wave is great. So just utilizing those platforms and making sure anything that's on your bank statement or on your credit card statement is in there. It's the first part of the whole battle with taxes. Hmm. You have it recorded and you just got to kind of tell it where it's going, what it was for.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I say reconcile because that's how you know if you've gotten it all, it matches your statements. And that's really your end goal. You want to make sure it's all in there. So you're getting that maximum tax deduction. So
yeah, I just know that when the books are right, taxes are easy. Like they're easy. You're just filling in, like if you do it yourself, you're just filling in fields. If the books are not right, it's a mess. So it's yeah, and bookkeeping, I think that includes making sure you got the receipts in the right place, you know what those receipts are about. You've got your W-9s right, you've got, but you know, whatever else that you need, you know, in place so that it's just easy to accomplish. I mean, that's the whole thing we didn't talk about right there was, you know, part of tax season is, you know, right at the beginning of the year, getting all your 1099s, your W-2s in place, getting those submitted appropriately. Those have like deadlines of I know we're way beyond those, but those had deadlines. So if you have the bookkeeping in place, all that stuff's easy. It's just you just pull a report and you put a number in.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so that comment made me feel better about taxes. If your bookkeeping is right, then that part is no big deal.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Really, yes. If you are honestly, and this isn't just because I do it. Outsourcing your bookkeeping can be one of the most affordable things that you do for your business. And it is the biggest headache saver, to be honest, because what is the biggest stressor for a business owner? Making sure that they are doing their taxes right, because ultimately taxes and cash flow can kill your business. I mean, it really comes down to some of those things. So it is affordable to outsource, partner with the right people. And if you can't afford it at this point, find somebody that's going to give you the guidance to set it up the right way the first time. And then when you're ready to do that and outsource it, you've got your stuff in place already. But Dan nailed it. Taxes are not hard if you have your bookkeeping in order. It really is as simple as pulling a report, putting the numbers on your tax return, and getting your maximum deduction there.
Yeah, you might say taxes are done all year.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. Yes.
Totally. Yep. Yes. Yeah.
Great way to put that.
I mean, I would say probably what 80% or more of people with at least small businesses have pretty straightforward taxes. I mean, there aren't really complicated situations. I mean, everybody I've talked to, at least that I've talked to about taxes and everything, they're like, oh yeah, it's pretty straightforward. We just do a this and, you know, your normal forms, a normal way, you know. I mean, sure, there may be times where there are some complications where you've got estates that you're working with because maybe family's passed away and you're an executor. I think that's what it's called, right? Of an estate, et cetera, or other things where maybe there's some complex things going on. And that's where CPA definitely helps, you know. But in terms of your business taxes and personal, if it's just, you know, what you're doing, it's your thing. Got bookkeeping in place, should be pretty simple. Mm-hmm. My favorite every year is when like February 2 rolls around and I'm able to do my taxes like on Feb 2. It's insane when that happens. This year's not one of those years, but not because my bookkeeping isn't in place. It is. There's just other things happening that I'm looking at and waiting for. But it's still going to be easy because my books are in order. So that's it.
Yeah. Even though you're waiting, you're not stressed because, you know, it's right. Just waiting for you to put numbers somewhere.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So, Bridget, you said it is affordable to have a bookkeeping service. Now, certainly, it's difficult to say what that should cost because some prices vary, right? But sure. Is there a percentage of your revenue that you should say, okay, somewhere in there is about what you should spend on bookkeeping?
Wow, that's a complicated question.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, maybe technically, maybe. I know we do our pricing based on transaction volume and services being requested. Okay. So we build our packages exactly to what our clients, you know, need or are requesting. So, I mean, it just depends on that. I know that there's hourly services out there that they will just charge you by the hour. That's a little bit harder, I feel like, for business owners because you don't necessarily know what your fee is going to be, right? Yeah, like, you're very unpredictable, where if you have a set, a set fee, you know what to expect. So I don't know if I was going to give an off a cuff guess here. I would say probably somewhere between 2 to 5% of your of your revenue is to be expected per year.
All right.
And if you're great with your records and you can find, you know, a firm that is just kind of there on retainer and there to do your reconciliations and double check, that's also an option that exists out there. So yeah.
That's a really nice number. I mean, and I don't mean that, oh, great, that's the amount. What I mean is it's good to know that number, and that range seems pretty relevant, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Affordable.
Here's the other thing that happened to me. Maybe there's some other folks who have seen this or had this happen. When you pay estimated taxes all year long, the IRS changed their portal to do that. And I went on the day of the deadline, nothing like a deadline, right? You go the day to pay it, and I find out it's changed. You had to submit your information and then wait for a PIN number to come in the mail. That's expedient. So here you are on the last day of the taxes are due. You can't pay them because you're waiting for the PIN to come in the mail. So, hello, that happened. So when you're talking about paying estimated taxes and you missed that deadline, that stirs up a little stress, doesn't it?
It certainly can, yes.
Yeah. I tried not to get too worried about it and just figured, you know, when I file, I'm going to pay. The money's here. It's waiting. It's just going to be paid later. Is that, generally speaking, is that a fair perspective to have?
Yeah. Generally speaking, you'll be fine. Yeah.
I can sleep tonight now.
You can sleep. Yes. Actually, surprisingly, states hit harder with penalties and fees than the federal does. Yeah.
Interesting. Yep. Well, Yep, didn't pay that estimated either, and that wasn't the IRS, but yeah, we'll just deal with it. But
and the IRS, yeah, there are some workarounds for that portal. I know exactly what portal you're talking about. So
yes,
there are some other avenues to submit payments. So I have a resource that I'm going to share, you know, with the show, but I'd be happy to also share the ways that those can be paid. So if you run into that issue,
yeah,
you can find a workaround.
That would be good to know. Speaking of that, before we go, these items to which you referred are actually part of a comprehensive list that you provide folks.
Correct. Yes.
And you're willing to do that for us.
Oh, absolutely.
That's very kind.
I'm a giver. I will share anything I can. And actually, because of some of the headaches we've seen small business owners have and, you know, some of the struggles that they have setting up their books, we are actually going to be launching a DIY course, though, that walks through exactly how to set it up, exactly what your chart of accounts should look like to kind of talk to your tax return, and some of the high level overview of how to use the software and do it right and how to reconcile. So it will hopefully bridge the gap that some of these business owners are having, you know, when they're starting out and trying to manage finances on their own.
All right. Well, as far as some of the recommendations that you heard Bridget list there, she actually has that list. We'll put that in the show notes here. You can click through and download that yourself, and there's no charge for that. So we'll do that. And then if you have other questions, she's certainly able to answer some of those as well by way of that link and her website. So yeah, great. Because we reach out to you all the time.
You know where to find me.
You know where to find you. That's right. All right. So do that. And hey, while you're at it, why don't you subscribe to What the Biz? We'd be glad to have you in our loop and alert you when new episodes deploy a couple of times a month. And so make sure you click that little notification when you subscribe, and you'll get that notice when the episodes come available. And check us out, too, at whatthebiz.com. Nice little opportunity to offer a comment or a voicemail, and we'll welcome those also and share those on a future episode because we appreciate your input as well. What the Biz. Be well, folks. We'll be back soon.